August 16th. Our reading in the Old Testament for today will come from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and we'll go through chapter 12, verse 26. We'll see that the exiles who returned were few in number compared to Jerusalem's population in the days of the kings. And because the walls had been rebuilt on their original foundations, the city seemed sparsely populated. Nehemiah asked 1/10 of the people from the outlying areas to move inside the city walls to keep large areas of the city from being vacant. Apparently, these people did not want to move into the city. Guess these were country folks. Only a few people volunteered, and Nehemiah cast lots to determine who among the remaining people would have to move. There's lots of lists here in Scripture in this passage for today. Many of them may not have wanted to live in the city because, number one, non-Jews attached a stigma to Jerusalem residents, often excluding them from trade because of their religious beliefs. Number two, moving into the city meant rebuilding their homes and reestablishing their businesses, a major investment of time and money. And finally, number three, living in Jerusalem required stricter obedience to God's word because of greater social pressure and proximity to the temple. And as I said, we will be going through some lists here. Sometimes I know that can get rather boring, but the amazing thing about the lists of names in the Bible is it gives the Bible great authenticity, because you can follow these names back through the ages and trace them all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's pretty amazing. All right, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. August 16th, the Old Testament. Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 26. The leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem, the holy city. 1/10 of the people from the other towns of Judah and Benjamin were chosen by sacred lots to live there too, while the rest stayed where they were. And the people commended everyone who volunteered to resettle in Jerusalem. Here is a list of the names of the provincial officials who came to live in Jerusalem. Most of the people, priests, Levites, temple servants, and descendants of Solomon's servants continued to live in their own homes in the various towns of Judah. But some of the people from Judah and Benjamin resettled in Jerusalem. From the tribe of Judah, Eliah, son of Uzziah, son of Zechariah, son of Amariah, son of Shephatiah, son of Mahalalel, of the family of Perez, also Maaseiah, son of Baruch, son of Kol-Hose, son of Haziah, son of Adiah, son of Joiarib, son of Zechariah, of the family of Shelah. There were 468 descendants of Perez who lived in Jerusalem, all outstanding men. From the tribe of Benjamin, Salu, son of Meshullam, son of Joed, son of Pedaiah, son of Kolaiah, son of Maaseiah, son of Ithiel, son of Jeshaiah. After him were Gabai and Salai, and a total of 928 relatives. Their chief officer was Joel, son of Zichri, who was assisted by Judah, son of Hasanua, second in command over the city. From the priests, Jediah, son of Joiarib, Jachin, Hansiriah, son of Hilkiah, son of Meshullam, son of Zadok, son of Merioth, son of Ahitub, the supervisor of the temple of God. Also, 822 of their associates who worked at the temple. Also, Adiah, son of Jeroham, son of Pelaliah, son of Amzai, son of Zechariah, son of Pashur, son of Malchijah, along with 242 of his associates, who were heads of their families. Also, Amashai, son of Azarel, son of Hazai, son of Meshillemoth, son of Immer, and 128 of his outstanding associates. Their chief officer was Zabdiel, son of Hagidolim. From the Levites, Shemaiah, son of Hashub, son of Azrikam, son of Hashabiah, son of Bunai. Also Shabithai and Jozabad, who were in charge of the work outside the temple of God. Also Mattaniah, son of Micah, son of Zabdi, a descendant of Asaph, who led in thanksgiving and prayer. Also, Bakbukiah, who was Mattaniah's assistant, and Abda,
son of Shammua, son of Galal, son of Jeduthun. In all, there were 284 Levites in the holy city. From the gatekeepers, Akub, Talmon, and 172 of their associates who guarded the gates. The other priests, Levites, and the rest of the Israelites lived wherever their family inheritance was located in any of the towns of Judah. The temple servants, however, whose leaders were Ziha and Gishpa, all lived on the hill of Ophel. The chief officer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzai, son of Bani, son of Hashabiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micah, a descendant of Asaph, whose family served as singers at God's temple. Their daily responsibilities were carried out according to the terms of a royal command. Pethahiah, son of Meshizabel, a descendant of Zerah, son of Judah, was the royal advisor in all matters of public administration. As for the surrounding villages with their open fields, some of the people of Judah lived in Kiriath Arba with its settlements, Dibon with its settlements, and Jekabzeel with its villages. They also lived in Jeshua, Molada, Beth-Pilet, Hazar-Shual, Beersheba with its settlements, Ziklag, and Mekona with its settlements. They also lived in En-Rimmon, Zora, Jarmuth, Zanoah, and Adullam with their surrounding villages. They also lived in Lachish with its nearby fields, and Azekah with its surrounding villages. So the people of Judah were living all the way from Beersheba in the south to the valley of Hinnom. Some of the people of Benjamin lived at Geba, Michmash, Aijah, and Bethel with its settlements. They also lived in Anathoth, Nob, Ananiah, Hazor, Ramah, Gittaim, Hadid, Zeboim, Nebalat, Lod, Ono, and the Valley of Craftsmen. Some of the Levites who lived in Judah were sent to live with the tribe of Benjamin. Here is the list of the priests and Levites who returned with Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the high priest. Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Maluk, Hattush, Shechaniah, Harim, Mirimoth, Edo, Ginnathon, Abijah, Miniamin, Moadiah, Bilgah, Shemaiah, Joyarib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, and Jediah. These were the leaders of the priests and their associates in the days of Jeshua. The Levites who returned with them were Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who with his associates was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. Their associates, Bakbukiah and Unai, stood opposite them during the service. Jeshua, the high priest, was the father of Joiakim. Joiakim was the father of Eliashib. Eliashib was the father of Joiada. Joiada was the father of Johanan. Johanan was the father of Jadua. Now, when Joiakim was high priest, the family leaders of the priests were as follows. Neariah was the leader of the family of Seraiah. Hananiah was leader of the family of Jeremiah. Meshulam was leader of the family of Ezra. Jehonan was leader of the family of Amariah. Jonathan was leader of the family of Maluk. Joseph was leader of the family of Shechaniah. Adna was leader of the family of Harim. Helkai was leader of the family of Mirimoth. Zechariah was leader of the family of Iddo. Meshulam was leader of the family of Ginnathon. Zikri was leader of the family of Abijah. There was also a leader of the family of Miniamin. Piltai was leader of the family of Moadiah. Shammua was leader of the family of Bilgah. Jehonathan was leader of the family of Shemaiah. Mattani was leader of the family of Joiarib. Uzai was leader of the family of Jediah. Galai was leader of the family of Salu. Eber was leader of the family of Amok. Hashabiah was leader of the family of Hilkiah. Nithanel was leader of the family of Jediah. A record of the Levite families was kept during the years when Eliashib, Jehoiada, Johanan, and Jadua served as high priest. Another record of the priests was kept during the reign of Darius the Persian. A record of the heads of the Levite families was kept in the Book of History, down to the days of Johanan, the grandson of Eliashib. These were the family leaders of the Levites: Hashabiah, Sherebiah, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, and other associates, who stood opposite them during the ceremonies of praise and thanksgiving, one section responding to the other as commanded by David, the man of God. This included Mattaniah, Bakbukiah, and Obadiah. Meshulam, Talmon, and Akkub were the gatekeepers in charge of the storerooms at the gates. These all served in the days of Joiakim, son of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah the governor and of Ezra the priest and scribe. And now it's time for us to read from the New Testament in today's narrative of the New Living Translation, and it will come from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 14 through 33. As we read today, we'll see that idol worship was the major form of religion in Corinth. There were several pagan temples in the city, and they were very popular. The statues of wood or stone were not bad in themselves, but people gave them credit for what only God could do, such as provide good weather, crops, and children. Idolatry is still a serious problem today, but of course it takes a different form. We've gotten a bit more sophisticated with our idolatry. We don't put our trust in statues of wood and stone, but in paper money and plastic cards. Trusting anything for what God alone provides is idolatry. Our modern idols are those symbols of power, pleasure, or prestige that we so highly regard. When we understand contemporary parallels to idolatry, Paul's words to flee from idolatry become much more meaningful and urgent. We'll read that the idea of unity with God through eating a sacrifice was strong in Judaism and Christianity as well as paganism. See, in Old Testament days, when a Jew offered a sacrifice, he ate part of that sacrifice as a way of restoring his unity with God against whom he had sinned. As we read on into today's New Testament scripture, we'll see as followers of Christ, we must give him our total allegiance. We cannot, as Paul explained, eat both at the Lord's table and at the table of devils. We cannot agree with other pagan religions. They are to be soundly rejected. The Lord demands our loyalty. Eating at the Lord's table means communing with Christ and identifying with his death. Eating at the devil's table means identifying with Satan by worshiping or prompting heathen or evil activities. Are you trying to lead two lives, following the desires of both Christ and the crowd? The Bible says you cannot do both at the same time. All right, with that, let's begin our reading today, here in the New Testament. August 16th, the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 33. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I am saying is true. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Think about the people of Israel. Weren't they united by eating the sacrifices at the altar? What am I trying to say? Am I saying that food offered to idols has some significance, or that the idols are real gods? No, not at all. I am saying that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What? Do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than he is? You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you, this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited to what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, Why should I be condemned for eating it? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. Our reading today in the book of Psalms will come from Psalm chapter 34, verses 11 through 22. The Bible, you know, often connects the fear of the Lord, love and reverence for Him, with obedience. Fear God and keep His commandments. If a man love me, the Bible says, he will keep my words. It's out of John chapter 14, verse 23. David said that a person who fears the Lord doesn't lie, turns from sin, does good, and promotes peace. Reverence is much more than sitting quietly in church. It includes obeying God in the way we speak and the way we treat others in all areas of our lives. We'll read here in Psalms today that David encouraged others to trust and fear God and to exemplify faith, truth, obedience, and goodness in their lives. He feared God, and for the most part, he chose the way of goodness and peace. David even treated some of his worst enemies with kindness. Somehow, and I'm not quite sure how we deduct this and come up with this, but somehow we think that peace should come to us with no effort. But David explained that we're to seek and pursue peace. We often wish we could escape troubles, you know, the pain of grief, loss, sorrow, and failure, or even the small daily frustrations that constantly wear us down. God promises to be our source of power. And finally, in today's reading in the book of Psalms, we'll see that this is a prophecy about Christ when he was crucified. Although it was the Roman custom to break the legs of the victim to speed his death, not one of Jesus' bones was broken. Aside from the prophetic meaning, David was pleading for God's protection in the midst of crisis. Psalm 34, verses 11 through 22. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 14 through 16. A secret gift calms anger. A bribe under the table pacifies fury. Justice is a joy to the godly, but it terrifies evildoers. The person who strays from common sense will end up in the company of the dead.